All right. Today we are going to continue to work our way through the Gospel of Luke, and we are up to chapter 4 now, so if you'd like to follow along, I encourage you to follow along in Bibles of your own or Bibles that are near you. So let's open up to Luke chapter 4, and I'm going to go ahead and start off reading that first part of this chapter. As you may recall from last week, the end of chapter 3 goes through Jesus' baptism. This genealogy through Joseph, showing who Jesus is and qualifying him for the work ahead of him. So now let's read what happens next. Luke chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to a test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So as I said, last week we talked about Jesus' baptism. There was that moment we read about when the Holy Spirit came down physically in the form of a dove. There was a voice from heaven declaring, "You are my Son, with you I am well pleased." Jesus had this powerful moment of ordaining and affirming who he was. And then what happened after that? According to Luke, he was tested. Notice that it was the Holy Spirit who led him to go alone into the wilderness during these 40 days. This testing time was not an unexpected interruption to God's plans. It was something that he allowed. It is an essential part of Jesus' spiritual preparation and proving. So the first part of this test involves 40 days alone without food. Fasting, we know, is a test of self-discipline and endurance. And doing that for 40 days placed Jesus completely in the Father's hands. Imagine 40 days without food. What kind of state you would be in mentally and emotionally, desiring to feed yourself. Jesus was completely stripped away of even the most basic external comforts and supports. Doing that places a person in the depths of divine dependence most of us never experience. That kind of endurance test would shape Jesus to know in the core of his being just how faithful the Lord is to be present and available to those who fully trust in him. Jesus was going to need that kind of knowledge for what lay ahead of him in the next few years. As he went out into the public, he would face insults, slander, and rejection. He can endure all of that knowing the comfort of the Father. Later, he would be arrested, falsely accused, beaten, and put to death. And this, of course, we know is all part of his mission to offer himself on our behalf, to pay the debt of our sin. And rather than resisting or rising up in his own power to take matters into his hands, Jesus endured having far more than hunger stripped away from him. And it was not only the strength of his character that carried him through all of that, but it was also the knowledge that he was sustained by the Father's hands. This period of fasting was especially formative, and it's important for us to see how much Jesus was able to depend on the Father. So the first part of this trial is important for us to see. It shows us that Jesus, our Savior, knows the kind of dependence the Father would need. And then also during those 40 days, When Jesus was starving at his physically weakest, the devil made his direct attack on Jesus. And at the core of all these temptations, Satan calls into question Jesus' very identity. Remember, I already mentioned that after the baptism, we had that all audible confirmation that Jesus was the beloved Son. And now the devil is saying to him, prove it. If you really are the Son of God, do these things. And you know, this is often how manipulation works. You're challenged to prove yourself in some way, but you're presented with a false or limited set of choices. But Jesus was not deceived by any of this. So Satan comes and says, if you really are the Son of God, there's no reason for you to go hungry. You ought to be able to command stones and turn them into bread. Why would the all-powerful Son of God allow himself to go without? But Jesus knows that life is far more than feeling comfortable and well-fed. And this was not a time for self-fulfillment. It was not a time yet for him to eat. So Jesus was not about to take this shortcut to satisfy himself and distrust the Father. Really, that's part of the core of all these temptations. Every kind of temptation is trying to draw a person away from that relationship with the Father. And so Jesus resisted. And he stood true with the Lord. And then the devil went on to say that if you truly are the Son of God, why wouldn't you claim authority all over all the kingdoms of the world? Now, Satan, of course, throws in there that he has been given authority and it is his right to give. Now, he's either deceived or he's just lying, right? We know who the true authority is. But Jesus doesn't take that temptation either. This offer that he gives, that the Satan gives of authority, comes with a price, that he would have to bow down to Satan himself. Pursuing power, pursuing personal gain often comes with a cost. It requires us to give up what is truly important for what seems expedient and convenient to us. Jesus knew, of course, that he cannot serve the devil and the Lord. There is no middle ground, and worldly power is not worth turning away from the Lord for. Then finally, the devil says, if you truly are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Let the angels come and rescue you. Prove that you have this power. Prove that the Lord will protect you. You, of course, can command these angels. Why not just use that power and let everyone see for themselves who you truly are? Imagine the spectacle of this man jumping from the temple and just angels come and swoop him up and protect him from the fall. What would that do for the people who saw him? They would just worship him as God, wouldn't they? Why not? Why not take this shortcut to glory? Why go through all the trials and suffering that lie ahead? Just show yourself now. But Jesus said that he should not put the Lord to the test. He knew his mission in the world was not about gaining power and glory and public acclaim for himself. It was about offering salvation to sinners like you and me. It was about showing love and compassion to those of us who often feel trapped in our sin and defined by our failures. He knew there are no shortcuts to fulfilling the Father's will. These things that Satan offered might seem like natural privileges to the Son of God, but Jesus' life was dedicated to something far greater. He didn't come to just sit at the right hand of the Father and to be glorified. He would stay the course and follow the Father's path day after day. The road ahead of him would require faith, resolve, and perseverance, the very strength that was forged through those trials he faced in the wilderness. So this section of Scripture is valuable testimony to us of Jesus' resolve to fulfill his mission and further evidence of his worthiness to be the Lamb of God who would give his life in exchange for ours. As we look at this and see how Jesus handled this temptation and trial, we can gain perspective from all he went through for our own faith journeys as well. As you seek to live and grow in your faith in Jesus, as you offer your life to serve him, and as you witness to him in this world, one of the things that you can be certain of is that you will face trials and temptations, just like Jesus did. And God will allow these trials to happen. He will arrange them for you because they are for your good. They're not meant as just a test to trip you up and reveal your weaknesses. No, they are meant to prepare you, to shape you, to strengthen you. God uses difficult circumstances in our lives to call you deeper into dependence on Him. He uses moments of temptation to strengthen your resolve to serve Him and Him alone. We can see Satan's tactics that he used with Jesus. And he uses similar tactics to tempt us as well. He will call into your to question your identity as a child of God. He will attempt to turn you away from staying close to the Lord and following Him. He will tell you that if you're truly saved by Jesus, you would act differently than you currently do. Your life would look differently than it currently does, and you would not be lacking in any material ways. These are lies meant to deceive you, meant to make you doubt the Lord and turn away from Him. Our lives are not meant to be comfortable and well-fed. They're meant to be lived in the fulfillment the Lord gives us. The devil will tempt you to claim special privilege or pride in your position as someone redeemed by Jesus. He will tell you that you are better than others, that you deserve certain honor because you know Jesus. And we know that the truth is not, the honor and glory are not ours. They belong to Jesus alone. You will be tempted to take shortcuts toward fulfillment of desires of your heart. Those shortcuts will bypass the real work that Jesus is doing in you to build Christ-like character, to deepen fellowship and experience His presence. Now, as you think about this, and you can probably imagine trials that you've been through, we've all faced trials and temptations, and we have all fallen short. We have chosen the selfish path, the one that sounded easy and fulfilled that longing that we had, or it seemed like it would fulfill it, but ended up leaving us empty and more aware of what we're lacking in faith. We've all been there. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus doesn't ever give up on us. These trials are not just one-time pass-fail tests that determine the outcomes of our lives. Our joy is in Jesus' triumph. Jesus overcame His trials. He alone proved unwavering faithfulness to the Father, earning the ability to offer His life in exchange for ours. He was sacrificed to cover our sins and shortcomings in His righteousness. So when you have confessed your sin to God, and when you have put your faith in Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of those sins, you can be assured that God will never abandon you. Jesus has already succeeded on your behalf. So when you do fall short on the next trial in your life, He will be there to pick you back up and continue to walk with you if you will receive Him. The strength in our faith is sometimes not found in how well you endure the trial, but rather in how readily you return to the Lord and remember His faithfulness and allow Him to strengthen you for the next test, to teach you and to guide you, to shape you into the person God wants you to be. So with all this in mind, I want to ask us to consider where you are today. Have you recently fallen short and given into temptation some way? Is that the thing that's on your mind as you think about these temptations? Is it pretty familiar with you? It's okay to let some guilt of that teach you something about yourself, but don't let shame overwhelm you. Jesus is still with you and is ready to continue life's journey with you. Just invite Him in. Let Him strengthen you and continue to work with you. Or are you in the midst of a trial right now? Maybe you've chosen to engage in an extended fast or give yourself a challenge of some spiritual discipline. Or maybe you're facing powerful temptations that continue to call you away from God and the path that He wants you on. Whatever those trials may be, know that God has led you there. He has not abandoned you. He is using this trial to strengthen you to teach you that you can depend on him. Or he's using it to deepen your resolve to live fully for him, trusting in his plans for you. His goals for us often aren't the final outcome that we look to. His goal is to be with us in the process, to show us his love and presence, his continued provision day after day, until we reach the end and be able to look to him and thank him for always being there. We can be certain that God uses all things in our lives for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. May you be encouraged today with hope in Jesus and strengthen your heart to choose faith in the Lord over everything else. Let's let Jesus' trials be an example to us, a reminder to us that God is faithful. But even more than that, that Jesus has overcome, and it is by his righteousness that we have assurance of God's continued provision. Let's give thanks to the Lord and then close with one more song. Lord God, we do thank you for your love and for your presence. We thank you so much for your Son. We thank you that you have loved us in spite of our sin, Lord. This gospel message that you have given us is powerful in its simplicity. We have fallen short, but your Son has overcome. And we thank you for the many examples you give us in Scripture of how Jesus has overcome. We thank you for the promises that you are available to us. Lord, I ask for your blessing on each one of us today in whatever position we find ourselves in today. For those who have fallen, who are feeling weak, who are being reminded of their failures, Lord, I pray that you would just bless them with a reminder that they are still loved by you, that you have provided for them and you have forgiven them. Strengthen them and set them back on your path. And for those who are in the midst of trials, Lord, I pray that your presence would be known to them in new ways, that their faith would be so much stronger as they come through the trial. And if we are in between trials, Lord, may we just know your presence today. May you be reminded that our daily lives, our daily interactions, is where you want us to be. You want to be close to us. You want us to look to you in each moment and to give thanks that you are there. We thank you, Lord, for being here with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.